This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney on this Thursday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. You know, all these years, and I just figured this out today. It's actually pathetic on my part.
Sad.
All these years, and all the years I spent going to Catholic school. 8 years, 1 through 8, Catholic school, Jesuit high school, all boys, Catholic. Now, to be fair, there were some years in my 20s where I didn't give up anything for Lent. But I've gotten back in the habit of giving up something for Lent.
Okay.
And the last couple of years, Jen and I have given up candy. I love to devour. I'm not a big chocolate guy, but like gummy bears, watching, movie with Jen at night, a little popcorn, a little salt. I mean, just it's a perfect mixture, right? So I look at it twofold. I'm like, all right, I'll give up Lent, and I will satisfy that aspect of my religion.
Yeah. You mean give up candy for Lent.
I mean, yeah, give up candy for Lent and satisfy that aspect of my religion and also lose a few pounds, get ready for the golf season. So it works out well. What I didn't realize until today is that Lent ends today. I always assumed Lent was just ended on Sunday, which actually makes no sense if you know the Last Supper with Judas betraying Jesus Thursday night and then Good Friday and blah. So I can have candy tonight. I'm pumped.
So for years you've been waiting till Sunday.
Yeah. I really have.
That's funny.
Jelly beans. I'm gonna get after it tonight watching some hoops. And speaking of hoops, Kevin Durant took us on a little stroll through his mind. And we greatly appreciate it. We got into this briefly in the first hour. I want to play this for everybody because it is easy on a very rudimentary level to get on the air and say, oh, Kevin Durant. And we, by the way, you and I both said it. I mean, we both said it. We're both a little bit, although we added context, but initially we were both guilty. You take the same amount of shots as Patrick Beverley. You take only 3 or 4 shots in the fourth quarter, one of which was basically a layup, a bunny. These are things that simply cannot happen when you choke away a 31-point lead and you're Kevin Durant. And then Kevin Durant sat us all down and hit us up with some advanced basketballography. And listen to this.
Well, we had a nice flow of the game. You know, let's go back to the whole last month of the season. We've been playing this way for a while. And when we got to this series, game one, we had some nice momentum. They're playing a gimmick defense, which has been working, top blocking everything on the perimeter. So guys not even looking at the three-point line. They just forcing guys inside the three-point line. So for us, when I get the ball in my spots, I got a pest, Patrick Beverley, who's up underneath me. Well, I could definitely shoot over top and score every time if it's a one-on-one situation. But we got a guy that's dropping and helping, and then we got another guy that's just sitting on me waiting for me to dribble the basketball. If I put the basketball on the floor, I could probably make 43% of my shots if I shoot them like that. But that's not really going to do nothing for us with the outcome of the game, because we got a nice flow. Everybody touching the rock, everybody shooting and scoring. So I'm not going to get in the way of the game because, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverley. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
Wait for it. I'm Kevin Durant.
You know who I am.
We do.
This was awesome because Kevin Durant, I mean, the overarching thought about him is that he's just surly, has a bad attitude, kind of superstar. He has we talk about it often. Like, why is he so upset all the time? Why has he got burner accounts? Why does he care what people say about him? Why is he not answering the questions, forthright? He did. And it was refreshing. It was awesome. It sounded great. But it also makes you realize that he knows what's happening to him. He understands, why he only took 8 shots. It wasn't like he just got passive all of a sudden and it was All right, I'm not going to shoot today. I'm done. Patrick Beverly, you got into my head. I'm not taking any. That wasn't it.
Yeah, I'm suddenly withdrawn
yeah,
from the
exactly.
flow of the game.
Like he knows what
I'm
he
out of sorts.
He's in that little the short elbow right there. That's where he always takes his jump shot. He gets to that spot and he just shoots. It doesn't matter who's on him. It doesn't matter if it's a guy who's 6'10 or if it's a guy who's 6'2 like Patrick Beverly. He's going to take that shot. But as he explained, it's that in the flow of the game, like they always look for the open guy, and I think. In game one, that's how they won. In game two, that's what he was just trying to do. He's trying to do the right thing instead of just dominating and instead of becoming ball dominant. He tried to find the right guy. And so it resulted in a poor stat line, really, even though it wasn't horrible. I mean, he only took 8 shots, but he made 5 of them and he ultimately fouled out. But still, I think hearing him explain it that way was refreshing because we don't usually hear him talk that way.
We never hear him talk that way. And it's great. You know, I use the expression, the court of public opinion, his Q rating soars, I believe. You know, because the cerebral nature of basketball is really not explored too often.
No, you're right.
It's not. I mean, if you listen closely enough, somebody like Isaiah Thomas on NBA TV, he'll certainly take you down there. If you're really listening, you know, you're going to get a heavy dose of education from Zeke. Most of the analysts, but I think Isaiah in studio is just really cerebral. But I wonder, you know, would you ever hear that from James Harden? Like, would you ever hear exactly what Kevin, even if it's positioned differently, but the same message? You ever hear Russell Westbrook say that?
No.
Did you ever hear Carmelo Anthony say that?
No. Yeah, he never did.
And I'm not here to drudge up all the nonsense with Carmelo. We know how his career ended, and hopefully gets a shot to say goodbye. He's a good guy, and he was a great scorer. But the one thing that Carmelo never had was enough self-awareness to know that, and I use Kevin Durant's words, when they're dropping and helping, not to mention the guy Beverly who's playing, you know, underneath him getting leverage. I mean, it's very, if you're a cerebral player and if you're a selfless player, what you do is you reroute the ball, hit the open man to world-class shooters. What you do if you're a chucker and you're a gunner and you're a one...
Shoot anyways.
You just shoot anyway.
Yeah.
And you might hit 43% if you're Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
If you're Carmelo or if you're Russell, more so Russell Westbrook, you might shoot 23% under those circumstances.
Yeah, and it's not even a game.
It's not even a game.
So after hearing how KD and I guess Steve Kerr and Steph and all those other guys, how they responded to this narrative. Because this is an ugly one, man. They were up 31.
Oh, yeah.
Up 31 at home.
Choke.
And you choke and lose to the Clippers, mainly because the Clippers' bench was ridiculous. Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, what did they have, like 36?
Lou had 36, and I think Montrezl had
25, whatever it was.
Sweet Lou definitely had 36.
Yeah, you're right. So, but I mean, they got destroyed off the bench. And, you know, now hearing how I think KD is just willing to express what's out there. You think they play better? You know, you think they play at a heightened level throughout?
Yes. I do absolutely.
As well.
No doubt.
It's the one thing about this Warriors team that you've always known. Sometimes they will have lapses. We saw it all season long during the regular season. But when they knew they had to, like, exercise their will, they did, right? Whether it was against the Nuggets at the end of the season or throughout the years in the postseason. When they have to exercise their will, they do. But now
they got to do it without Boogie.
Now they got to do it without Boogie.
Who would become entrenched on their team, and now they've got to find a different rotation
player. Draymond even talked about that, though, as well. He said, you know.
I didn't see this. What did he
say? Yeah, he just basically said that we've had guys get hurt before. You know, we have enough talent on this team, and he's right.
But Boogie's uniquely talented.
Agreed.
He brings something different than anybody on the team.
It's interesting, though, because it's
a big body.
Maybe I didn't watch enough of them at the end of the season to see, because Boogie did evolve from the early, you know, what did he play? First game, he played like 10 minutes.
I think it may have been 10 or 14. But he was efficient his first game.
He was
hit
efficient,
like almost every shot.
But he wasn't impactful. Like, they would have won anyways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to miss him. But I think this team is good enough to adapt without him.
Oh, I don't disagree. You know, now against the Rockets, that could be. Now, listen, we said yesterday, as we talked about the games leading into last night, do we expect the Utah Jazz to come and play better?
They just can't.
They're no, not. You know, and I stopped myself because I love them coming into the series to win two games. I picked the Houston Rockets in six. I really thought Utah would, you know, maybe they squeeze one or two off at home, whatever, but at this point, it's almost academic.
It's five or sweep.
At this point, it might be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're getting rolled. The first game, they lost by 30-something. Last night, they got destroyed again. It's not even competitive, right? No. It's non-competitive.
It's 70 points at halftime.
Yeah, and I think the Jazz had 40-something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just 44. Completely...
I think it was 70 to 44.
It's horrendous. But what I am curious about, as I try to project, and maybe this is a little dangerous because maybe the Clippers come out and they hit, you know, 13 or 14 threes and the energy is popping and Beverly's in his grill and KD passes it up and the other guys miss shots and maybe the Clippers win by three and we're coming on the air tomorrow saying, wow, I mean, are the Warriors going to lose the series? So I don't want to push it too far forward eventually with the Rockets and the Warriors. But at least pertaining to the Warriors now, and we'll deal with the Rockets down the road, I really want to see, like, I would pay money to see Patrick Beverley play tonight more so than I would Durant or Steph.
Why?
I just want to see how he follows this up. Mm. It's so rare.
Well, I mean, it's
that you get a dog like this.
Yeah.
He is a beast.
Yeah, but it works once. Will it work again?
It's worked his whole career.
I know, but I'm talking about
against
KD.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah, against Kevin
Durant. No, they're going to have to mix things up. I mean, if they think they're going to win the same exact way and replicate that, no, I think that now we'll.
And by the way, let's not forget.
Let's go.
For a big part of this game, it wasn't working.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. It wasn't even remotely
they
working.
They were getting blown out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? They just stopped playing. As Steve Kerr said after their game two loss, they just stopped playing in the third quarter. It was embarrassingly bad. That's not going to happen again. Whether if they got to play, you know, 40 minutes, those guys are not going to let this happen again.
But wouldn't it be fun if they lost tonight?
Oh, of course
wouldn't
it would
be. Wouldn't it be a lot of fun?
It'd be a better discussion on radio tomorrow if they lost tonight. Yeah. I just don't see it happening.
No, I don't see it happening either. What are they, 8.5-point favorites? That's a tough building, and it's an energy team. It's a tough team. It's a prideful team. I mean, I probably won't touch it. If I was, I'd probably bet on the Warriors to cover, you know, maybe win going away, 11, 12, 13, maybe. But that Spurs-Nuggets game, I have no feel for what's going to happen here. Because it took this, and that's the game that I really watched more so than the other ones the other night. It took the Nuggets, they had 56 points with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. They just couldn't find their pace. Mm-hmm. And now that they found it, which was a great job of coaching by Malone, but you know... or at least you have to anticipate, that Popovich will not have a response from Malone's response.
You're right.
So the first part of this game, who has the pace? And if for some reason, I don't think it's going to be the Nuggets out of the shoot. No. I just don't.
Well, they're young. You can't really expect them to change a game plan and then register it immediately, at least have great success doing it immediately. Whereas with the Spurs, even if they were young, you kind of know. It's like the Pats, right? Go throw in, you know, four rookies playing every skill position, and you know they're going to be on point. You know what I mean? It's just great coaching pays off in this part of the season. And I think that's a Spurs advantage, especially at home. Look, they stole home court. We know. They took game one. They stole home court. Now all you got to do is take care of business going forward.
Pardon me, T. Coming up, we'll get some calls on the hoops, 855-212-4227. And will the Brooklyn Nets send a much-needed and earned message to Joel Embiid tonight? Will they do anything? We'll get into that again as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn makes it easy to match with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn uses knowledge of both hard and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their career, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. They're based on skills and backgrounds, interests, activities, and passions. So you get a group of the most relevant, qualified candidates for your role. That way, you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Post a job today at linkedin.com/tiki. That's linkedin.com/TIKI and get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/tiki. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Must watch hoops tonight. No doubt about it. No way around it. Must watch NBA tonight. If you're an NBA fan, and I know the first round generally throws a lot of, a lot of unwatchable stuff our way, like the Bucks and the Pistons.
Yep.
You know, the Rockets and the Jazz, although we didn't think it would be unwatchable going in. Tonight, if you're a basketball fan, you literally have three games that you have to monitor.
That's right.
You have to watch the Nets and the Sixers from Brooklyn. You have to watch the Nuggets and Spurs in San Antonio. And you absolutely have to watch. You got to stay up late enough if you're on the East Coast. You got to watch Kevin Durant and the Warriors, how they rally back from a 31-point choke job to the Clippers, who are going to play with heart and purpose. Patrick Beverley, all that stuff. And all three series now shift to opposing venues. But I want to get back to the Sixers and the Nets here. And I want to play this for you. And in the first segment, I said that the Nets should come out, with Joel Embiid on their radar. And if you got to reach down the bench and you have to grab somebody who's not going to play a lot of minutes and who's inconsequential to whether or not you win the game or the series, because you know he'll get ejected and you know he'll get suspended if he does something too egregious, I believe that that is in play. And I know that that sounds incredibly reckless and dangerous, and I hate to promote violence, but that shot that he delivered was so violent and so reckless, and it was amplified by this idiocy post-game.
Obviously, it wasn't intentional, and I got him pretty good, and I'm sorry about it, but... Okay. I'm sorry about it. It wasn't intentional, but it's just me trying to be aggressive. I'm not usually humble. That's why he's laughing.
Okay, so forget about what the 76ers are thinking right now or what they weren't thinking at that moment at the podium.
It's funny, though.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that funny at all. Actually. I really didn't think that was funny.
I think it's perspective. It's like if you like Joel Embiid and you like,
I do like him. I just didn't think it was funny.
Yeah,
like Joel.
I
like him.
He's aggressive on social media. He's aggressive on the court.
Why is great? Part of the reason why doesn't mean great players can't color outside the lines.
I don't disagree. He's okay. Also, how old is he? Was he 24 years old?
About that now? Yeah, 24 sounds about right.
He's 25 actually.
Oh, he's getting old.
Just turned 25.
There you go.
In March. March 16th, he just turned 25. So, he's still young.
Okay.
And Ben Simmons, half the problem is Ben Simmons is up there with him, making fun of him. Because Joel Embiid is not an apologist. You know what I mean? He's not going to say, hey, I'm sorry for dunking on you. I'm sorry that I hurt your feet. He doesn't care. He actually wants that's his way of rubbing in or being it's his gamemanship.
He's an antagonistic. He's got an antagonistic.
Yeah. And so he probably was told by whoever, Brett Brown or someone in the 76ers organization, dude, you should have been kicked out. That should have been a flagrant too. He should have been kicked out of the game. He wasn't. They gave him a flagrant once. He basically got away with being an intimidator on Jared Allen. And so he's probably told, you got to apologize. And so he gets up there.
Was he told to laugh too?
No, he's trying to do the right thing. And Ben Simmons is over there like looking at him.
This guy?
Like, yeah.
In essence, this is not the Joel Embiid I know.
Yeah, you're not sorry.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
And you know you're not sorry. Yeah. So he starts laughing.
Good. And that should be sitting around right now. About 2 hours from tip. And the Nets should have that on loop before they hit the layup line.
Okay.
Actually, they should be running loop. And that happens in the NBA locker rooms a lot of times, even college as well.
Yep.
But guys will walk in. Some guys will shoot early. Some guys will shoot late. Some guys will get treatment. Some guys will hang by their locker and read or listen to music. But they always have a loop of the opponent's team. And they'll just condense it where, the 7, 8, 9, 12 seconds of nothingness is contracted into the actual play.
Yeah.
And you just watch it. It's there on loop. And you could watch it for a couple of hours. And you get a sense of what your opponent's going to do. That should be on loop in the Nets locker room tonight. And that should be the only motivation that they need to come out and absolutely level him.
And do what?
Do whatever it takes.
And do what?
And do what, Amy Trez? Whatever it takes.
What is whatever
give
it takes?
An elbow to, I don't want, I'm not going to say give him an elbow to the head.
The problem is, it's not. What's it going to do?
I don't know.
Joel Embiid is a monster.
Okay.
Like, legit.
So you can never fight back on the monster?
Course,
I know that that's not your mentality.
Of course you can fight back
on
the
monster.
What do
you do? You just acquiesce. Oh, but, that big monster hit me with an elbow. And, God forbid I retaliate.
And you know what he's
gonna, I can't
and,
do that.
And you know
big.
What he's going to do, BT?
What?
He's going to laugh at him.
Okay, and then maybe the Nets that's fine. He's going to laugh.
Jared Allen got up and he was laughing at it. You know what I mean? Like, I got you. I got a foul. So, you know what I mean? So, what's he going to do?
I don't know. I can't read the future.
Yes.
Sometimes I can't.
Jared Dudley going to do this? It's 6'7", giving up.
I think Jared Dudley's actually got the backbone to do it.
Got giving up 40 pounds and 5 inches. Jared Dudley's going to do this? I mean,
I actually think that he would. I know if Chris Dudley was still playing, Chris would do it. What do you want, D-Cell? It seemed like you wanted to chime in for a second.
BT, would you feel the same way if that interaction at the press conference didn't happen?
Yes.
If it was just
No. I would not feel the same way. I would not be saying what I'm saying. You cannot. It's one thing if you was it fully intentional? I don't know. I'm not going to say that. That's reckless and that's unfair to Joel Embiid.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to read his mind, but I can react to what's in front of me, and I have two young clowns laughing at somebody who took a shot that was really close to his temple, precariously close to his temple,
more to his neck. I mean, it was up in his. I mean, it was vicious looking.
What do you think Kobe would do if that happened?
Kobe's throwing a fist. There's no doubt about it. Kobe's coming right back at him. It's funny because I was listening to the NBA radio this coming in, and they had what's the Piston? Why am I forgetting?
Oh, Rick
name?
Mahorn.
Nick Mahorn.
I heard them for a little bit.
They had Mahorn.
You always forget a Piston.
I know.
Every time there's a Piston reference, you always forget a Piston.
They weren't like organic to me. It's like I watched them from afar. I never like was dialed into a Pistons game.
He's a beast. I used to play pickup ball with Rick on Sundays when I played when I lived in Detroit.
And how dead serious was he?
That's my point.
At like 50.
He still played hard.
I only played
two or three times. I don't even know if he'd remember. I mean, I remember because it's Rick Mahorn.
But,
oh my God!
But I was listening to him this morning, and he was saying, Jared Allen's a better man than me.
Exactly.
Because if someone did that to me, it's a fight.
I know it's a different generation, and that's why D-Cell. But that's a really important question. I'm happy you asked me that because the optics of now you're laughing at me, even if that's not their intention. Again, just put yourself in the Nets locker room right now. D'Angelo Russell's walking around, putting on his tights. You got Joe Harris probably reading because he's a Virginia kid. He's probably reading a novel at this point, getting ready to knock down 5 threes.
Got Jared Allen putting on his headband.
Jared Allen's putting on. And by the way, as a quick aside, those ridiculous Karate Kid do-rags, the NBA's got to get rid of that.
I agree.
That is a trend. You cannot allow that to start permeating.
But I mean,
the
they have these fros these days.
No, that's great.
They're bringing them back, and so to control the fro, you gotta put something.
The fro doesn't go down. The fro is kind of immovable. It doesn't drop.
Some of them do. They get wet. Well, it falls.
Does it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Ben Wallace's fro never. And he had the biggest
one
I've ever
seen.
Had
like,
Ben Wallace had the braids and the fro.
I agree, but his fro was like kinky. You know what I mean?
But isn't every fro kind of
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Really?
Black people's hair varies significantly.
Significantly.
But you just look at my kid.
Fro.
You've met my daughters, my twin daughters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Ella's hair, if it froze, it sits straight up.
Okay.
Brooklyn's hair, which is similar, if it froze, it like falls like all like a bush around her face. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So it's just different,
okay,
different types of styles of hair. And so
I think some of those guys, but they just wear a headband
when their heads get wet. When it gets wet, they sweat or whatever. Yeah. It just falls.
But so how did they do it in the 70s? They had the biggest froze of all time in the 70s in the ABA.
You want me to be honest?
Gilmore. Think about somebody's
froze. You know what I think it was, honestly?
What?
There wasn't as much intermixing of races. And so the influence of genes hair wasn't the same.
Okay.
That's just you
know
what? This is my theory.
That could actually be a very on-point scientific... That makes sense.
50 years ago is different.
But we don't know that... Yeah. No, that's true. Although I'd like to know if, like, how many of the guys that wear them are of... Of different ethnicity.
But you could tell by the skin color, right?
You just cannot always. You're
but
lighter
you,
than
But you
Rhonda.
Can tell that there is a mix of race by
always?
Skin color. Usually.
Really?
Usually. I mean, if your genealogy is 100% like from Africa, you're gonna have dark skin. The gene for light skin, unless you have I forget what the skin condition is, you're going to be dark. Right, but now, like my kids are half white. My older kids are half Asian, right? So it's like
this, well, I guess that you met your first met was an Asian woman. I'm saying exactly. If two African Americans, they could still be lighter.
Not if the genealogy is pure African. And most
okay.
aren't.
I got you.
Like, for instance, my father did this to whatever it was, the 23andMe thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's part, like, Northern European.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
And he's born in the 60s or 50s. So it's just a different different world.
Think
about how different it is now.
Still don't like those do-rags.
I
still
hate
don't like whatever they are.
But I think I'm telling you this because I think they're necessary.
I want to challenge that, but I don't even know if I can. They're necessary. I still don't know if they're necessary.
Every morning, Tegan, my 2-year-old, wakes up.
Yep.
Her hair is dry and it's like knotty.
No, I get that.
And it's like you. I have to wet.
Well, it's the same thing from the girl in This Is Us.
If you brush a black girl's dry hair, it turns into like serious fluff.
No, I got you. I got you.
We have to wet it. She hates it. I pull out the spray bottle and I spray it down.
Yep.
And it falls.
Okay. So you're saying once they become sweat filled that it's going to fall?
Exactly. That's just
I don't see that, though.
Just my perspective.
I guess I got to take your word on this one.
I mean, I might be wrong. I'm just guessing.
But we agree that it's not a good look.
It's a horrible
it's just
look.
Sloppy.
I hate it.
But wait, hold on. Now, this makes no sense. So my problem is the stuff that hangs. What is that doing for the hair? That's my whole point.
I don't know.
If you think about it.
I know what you're talking about. They're trying to be cool. They're trying to be cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you wear a bandana, if you wear like a 19th Walter Payton kangaroos headband.
But that won't work.
Okay.
It's too tight.
I understand that. But so just get a wider one. They have varying widths of headbands.
BT, those bandanas, if you let them go, if you just set it on the table, it would crunch up tight.
It's pliable.
Right?
So
the only thing you can use is like what girls use in their hair to tie their hair up. Right? And so they have ties on them. They're just cool because they have the long ones.
They're not cool, though. Those aren't cool.
I agreed, but I'm just saying that some of them
are necessary.
I'll grant
you maybe necessary. I'll certainly defer here with that. Maybe necessary, but not cool.
No,
those are not cool.
They're not cool.
That's not a good look for the league.
No, I felt like I'm watching, what was the
Karate Kid?
No, not the Karate Kid. What was the Bruce Lee movie
with Kareem?
With Kareem.
You always referencing
that. Bloodsport? Was that Bloodsport?
No, not Bloodsport. Oh, yeah, it was Bloodsport.
I think it was Bloodsport. I can't remember now. Tell us on Instagram.
It is Bloodsport.
I think you're right.
Kareem.
That's what it reminds me of every time I see it. Because these tall-ass basketball players looking like fake ninjas
on the
basketball court.
But you're not buying my thing about a little retribution tonight from the Nets.
I don't
think the Nets should be
BT? I hope they do.
Laughing?
I think it only empowers Joel Embiid, though. I think it'd be counter-effective.
It could be. And that's a risk you have to be willing to take. It's a calculated one. What could also be damaging to the Nets is to do nothing and then Joel Embiid think that he has you in his back pocket.
That's a good point.
I own these chumps. I throw an elbow, nobody retaliated.
I think he thinks that anyway.
He might. No, he might. But if I get it on the Nets, I want to find out.
You're right.
All right, here's the update from Jay. We'll come back. We've got the blast, and we'll get that after Jay. Jay Berman coming at you right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. I guess we'll make some predictions before we get out of here. Well, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll give you a couple on the 3-game NBA games tonight, right, Tiki? We'll give people a final prediction.
We'll be right.
We'll get to it.
2 days ago we were wrong. Yesterday we were right.
Yeah, it's been that kind of so far. It's funny because the games have either been, as I said this earlier, either been completely unwatchable, like the Pistons and the Bucks, or and the Rockets and the Jazz. Every other series has legitimate intrigue. Even though the Thunder are down 0-2, the intrigue lies in, how they rally.
Agreed.
What kind of gumption they show at home down 0-2. So, and then conversely, do the Blazers have enough metal to see through it? I mean, they're up 2-0. It looks like they're going to probably find a way to win the series, which will surprise most people, including Vegas. But it is just starting to get good. I got a little something on Josh Rosen I want to throw by you, but first, let's blast away. Here we go. All right, Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin's picked up 2 technical fouls against the Bucks. The only problem is Blake Griffin hasn't played a second against the Bucks here. Can Blake Griffin lead the Pistons to prominence in the future? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think there's just too many other pieces that need to happen, and they play an antiquated style with their 2 big guys, so Blake's got injury issues, man. Just never, ever seems to go away. This is now his knee. He's got that big brace on. He tried to play through. I wish I could say yeah because I like Blake, but no, I'm going to say no.
I absolutely say no. And listen, these injuries have crept in. Skipped his entire rookie season after he was drafted first overall out of Oklahoma. I mean, his numbers, to be fair to Blake Griffin this year, put up 25 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. PER was pretty healthy, you know, 21, a little less than 22, which isn't great, but certainly good. And with that being said, they went 41-41. There's not a lot around them. I think he raised a very good point. It is kind of antiquated. It's converse to how he's supposed to play in the NBA now. And he's going to be 30. Oh, he just turned 30. So yeah. No, my answer is no. All right. The Yankees have fog machines and strobe lights in the clubhouse. And they did this after the win against the Red Sox last night. Gardner with a granny, much needed. Of course, before that, big maple, James Paxton dealing with 12 whips. So, I mean, the Red Sox are a mess, but pertaining to, not that the Yankees weren't before this little two-game sweep here, the question is it too much? No, I actually love this. Number one, they've done it before. This is not the first time they've done it, the Yankees, although it's the first time the media saw it, because when the media came in, usually they time it out so it's kind of dissipated,
yeah.
But they were a little extra jovial, which is great, because I think that the Yankees, for a while, too long, became too guarded, too predictable, and quite frankly, like too old, too stale.
Yeah.
At the end of the Jeter regime, the Jeter reign here, they have young guys with energy, have fun, cut it loose. It's a long season. Get after it.
Yeah,
I love
great.
It.
Look, I'm biased, obviously, because I don't like BT. I'm a Yankees fan. And after the game, the media were asking, who did this? Who was responsible? They're like, I don't know. Not me.
None of your business.
Exactly. Mind your business.
Mind your business. How about this? What looks to be the best game on the NFL schedule as of today?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. The Chiefs and the Pats getting against each other again in week 14. But I'll start earlier. I think the Saints and the Rams are interesting. Week 2.
Is that week 2? Yeah.
Yeah, week 2. Just a rematch of that NFC Championship game.
In L.A.?
At L.A., in L.A. So we'll see where both of these teams are, right, with Todd Gurley and his injury issue. The Saints, can Drew Brees still have it one more year? I think it's intriguing early matchup.
Okay, good one. I'm going to go with the first game we get a chance to watch. I'm going to go with the Bears and the Packers here.
That's a great one, too.
I love that they're deviating from you know, their past script and a little homage to history. It's the 100th year in the NFL, so you got two longtime rivals. Rodgers has a new coach. Rodgers is healthy. Rodgers has some more weapons defensively. Not weapons, but some more help, I should say, defensively. And, you know, the Bears are a terrific team, just beginning their ascension here. So two teams that theoretically could be in the mix for the Super Bowl if they stay healthy. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait for that. The Braves lose their closer, Arodis Vizcaino, for the season. Shoulder injury. Shoulder, yeah. And their bullpen's been a disaster. Not just, even without him. They gave up, I think it was 7 runs and before they got 3 outs recently. Like, their bullpen is really problematic. So would Craig Kimbrel go back to the place where his career started?
I'm looking at their cap space, BT, because that's what I'm looking at, first of all, because what Kimbrel was asking for under the tax threshold, they got tons of space.
And they have some good players, too. That's so surprising.
Million, maybe.
Yeah. They're not going to want to go over that threshold. I don't think.
They have 65 million.
They got $65 million before they hit the threshold?
Yeah.
That's surprising. Even with the money they gave Josh Donaldson, $23.5 million for 1 year?
Yeah.
That's a little more than I thought. My answer is absolutely yes.
Absolutely.
Depending
yes
upon
as well.
If there's enough enticement in the check.
Yeah.
At this point, Craig Kimbrel, I would imagine, whoever comes with a healthy number, he wants to play.
Yeah.
And I would imagine he had good experience, even though it didn't end well, but a good experience.
I think it will depend on the number of years he wants in this deal. If he'll settle for a 2-year deal or maybe even 3, then it'll work. If he wants to go 6 like he originally did.
No, he's bent from 6. He's down to 3.
Yeah.
The latest adjustment
is
per the reports.
Yeah, 16 or 15 or something for 3 years. Yeah,
so 8, 16, 32. Yeah. You get him 48 for 3-ish. You could do that?
I'd do that.
I would definitely
do it. If I'm the Braves, you kind of have to.
Yeah, because they're too good to mess around with that
exactly.
bullpen. They're good. LeBron James named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. Right behind Tiki Barber of 2019. Is LeBron James the most identifiable athlete of our lifetime? By the way, just by, you mean identifiable, we all know what it means, but I want to hear, you wrote the question, a little more context there. What exactly are you looking for with this
really
answer, DeSalle?
Recognizable.
Like if you say his name, you know
like
who
if you
he
see
is,
him?
You see him.
Like literally, there's LeBron?
There's LeBron, what LeBron's about, what he's done in his career, what he's done off the court.
Okay, I got you. Just want to make sure you're awake back there. I hadn't heard much from you today. Yomas.
I think Michael is still.
I was going to say Jordan. He's still doing Hanes commercials.
I know. He's just everywhere.
Jordan's there. What about Tiger Woods? I mean, come on. Go ahead.
What was the last commercial? Mike Tyson? What was the last commercial you saw LeBron in?
He's been in movies, though.
I know, but...
with Amy Schumer. Like, he's made some movies.
Was it the Sprite one? Sprite commercial?
Yeah, he's done a lot. Well, when he was playing baseball, there was one after that.
No. I'm talking about LeBron. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, he was pitching. Yeah, he was wearing the white, like the Oakland A's uniform. Yeah. He was doing Sprite.
He, interestingly, doesn't do a ton.
Doesn't need to.
Of course he doesn't, but...
he's going to be in Space Jam 2, which probably will bomb compared to Michael Jordan's version.
There's no way it's going to be great.
No, I can't imagine. I mean, listen, the short list, LeBron, Tiger, MJ, Tyson.
Kobe might even be...
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. Peyton. Peyton's up there, too. It's a good, healthy list. He's in the mix. He could be number one.
Number one, I'm saying no. I'd say no.
But you got to throw in social media influence. He's got... how many million, 30 million followers? Maybe more? I mean, so that's huge. So, you know what? I think based on the modern metrics, I'm going to say yes. Mm. And say yes. Wow.
43 million. Does Jordan even have social media?
What's that?
Does Michael Jordan have social media?
I don't think MJ does.
I don't know if he does.
I know Kobe
either.
Does. I don't know if Kobe does. Does Mike Tyson?
Tyson? I don't think Tyson does either.
I haven't seen him, and the way he smokes weed, you would imagine he would have tweeted something wacky by now. We would have seen it. He doesn't have it. Why isn't Mike on? He's got to get on there.
I know.
Come on, Mike. Get with the program, buddy.
Well, I guess he's an owner. You talking about Tyson or Jordan?
Tyson.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Jordan. Jordan's an owner, so what can he actually say?
Yeah. He talks about golf, you know. Yeah, loves golf. UNC, when they got bumped from the big dance. He could have... could have lamented about that. How about this from Josh Rosen, lamenting what his current situation has become? Quote, when he was asked about the distractions and the uncertainty, it's annoying, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty smart, I think, positioning by Josh Rosen. It's annoying, and I think a lot of people are going to get wrapped up on that word and say, yeah. Oh, Josh Rosen's not a good soldier. But listen to the rest of it. Football's a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. We won 3 games last year. Each one of those wins, to me, felt like we won the Super Bowl. Because we didn't win many at UCLA either.
Yeah.
At least that last year. And the feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be part of a team, not this team, a team, smart again, a team, next year, and have the same opportunities to go out and compete, end quote.
He could have been really like, throwing the dagger if they said, been part of a team next year that wants me.
He could have been very immature about it. Instead, he decided to keep his head on a straight, you know, which is one of the things you have to like about Josh. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, I mean, even when you listen to what Cliff Kingsbury is saying, like, Josh Rosen's been phenomenal through the offseason. He's been one of the first points. It's like he's patronizing
him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody does the rope workouts like Josh Rosen. I mean, it doesn't matter right now.
Yeah.
But it does matter how Josh handles his business.
Agreed. He also, what goes on to say in this article that we're reading, BT, that GCL just gave us, I think the best advice I've gotten in life from so many different people is control what you can control. And whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off.
That's a wily, old, sage perspective from a young man.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that applies to all of us.
True.
In every aspect of life.
But he's got to know. I mean, the tea leaves are speaking, man.
Yeah, and he's no dummy. He knows what's up.
He can't not hear it.
Oh, of course he hears it. I just love the fact that what he's doing is he's conveying a mature message, which I believe he believes will be further enticing to teams thinking about acquiring him.
Yeah.
I believe this is all calculated and intelligent posturing on his part. Controlling the message as much as he can.
We said this yesterday, BT. I think... teams that are interested, because there are teams that are interested. The rumors that have been floating around this for months now aren't just, you know, pulling you know what out of the air.
Yep.
They're real for the Redskins, for the Giants, for whomever. Even Miami, if they don't want to wait till a couple of years to get Tua. So they know it's going to happen, but those teams, they can wait now because the Cardinals took so long to actually come to this conclusion and get a deal done. Now, because we're after free agency and everything else, you just wait till the draft. They can wait.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it even worse for Josh. because he's got to sit for another week trying to determine, figure out where his future is going to be.
Yeah, he'll find out soon enough. I can't imagine it's easy, even though he's got a few bucks in his pocket and all that. It's not easy when you don't know where you're going to live and where you're going to work. I don't care how much money you have or how much fame. All right, the Nets and the Sixers, real fast. Nets plus 3.5. I believe the Nets will cover, and I believe the Nets will win tonight.
I'm going to go Nets. I'm going the other way. I'm going all the way. I'm going the Sixers.
All right. Spurs minus 4.5. This one's in San Antonio over the Nuggets. It's tough. That's a real tough. I don't have a great sense of this one.
I'm going to say Spurs win.
Okay.
I'm going to say Nuggets covered, though.
So you're basically talking a 2-3 point game.
It's a bucket game.
Oh, that's great. We're lucky. We should be so lucky to get
DeRozan's
that.
DeRozan's going to drill one.
DeRozan?
At the buzzer.
It's going to be tied with about 3 ticks to go, and he's going to hit a two or
two.
A long two?
Two.
He's going to hit a two. All right. And the Clippers are 8.5-point dogs at home. I'm just going to take the Warriors to bludgeon them.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
And I respect
the
Clippers.
They always respond well. Yeah. When this happens to them, like what happened last, they respond.
Yep.
It was a reason they were up 31.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
You have to convince me. I said Warriors big. All right, everybody have a Thursday night, a good Thursday night. Enjoy the basketball. T and I are back tomorrow to wrap up a great week and send you into the holiday weekend. Drive safely. We'll catch you tomorrow. Peace. Gotta go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.